I know when they along the offensive line, there was a lot of cheap shots going on every now and then. If you weren't cheating, you weren't trying. Former offensive lineman, now analyst at Yahoo Sports, Sandy Nunziata joins us. Sandy, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Not as good as you guys, but you're right.
Yeah.
Like a frightened turtle.
It's true.
Yeah.
It wants a hideout.
It
does. Wait till the sun comes out again. I get it. You know, makes total sense. Now, Kevin Lester told me once on the air that, you know, when he played, he liked to try to get guys off their game as an offensive lineman and wasn't afraid every now and then that he said, I even would stick a finger up the other guy's rear end every now and then just to get him off his game. Did you ever go that far?
I have never been the agitator, but I have been the recipient.
Oh.
Yeah, and it all depends on on the defensive lineman you're playing against. But I think it goes both ways. I think we're trying to get into their heads, and apparently they're trying to get into our butts. So it's trench warfare, and everything is fair game. And as long as the officials don't see it and don't call it, you got carte blanche to do whatever you want to do. And believe me, it gets pretty dirty and nasty.
So when the guy did it to you the first time, did it rattle you? Did it get you off your game?
Actually, no. I mean, it was done by Adriano Belli when we were on opposite teams, and it actually forged a long-lasting friendship between us because it gave us something to talk about over beers. And then eventually when he joined the team and he was on my team, he was one of those guys that you would love to have in the locker room. So there's some guys that take some liberties. I'm not going to lie. I was one of those guys. I took a lot of liberties as an offensive lineman. And I live by one simple motto: if you kill the head, the body will follow. So I used to get very creative as how I used to jerk that cage and get my fingers in places where they shouldn't normally go.
Now, did you ever hit a guy on purpose in the junk?
Define on purpose.
Well, you know, when you're falling and you accidentally, you know, your hand suddenly gets an extra burst of speed, well, maybe?
Well, we didn't avoid that that very vulnerable area, if that's what you mean.
Okay.
I mean, whether we were cut blocking, roll blocking, whether or not we were delivering a two-hand punch, if that was in our sights and we had access to that very vulnerable midsection, then, yeah, I could say that we delivered the blow in those areas. I mean, it wasn't a common thing. Usually it was a fluke accident, but under normal circumstances, there's no way that a defensive lineman's junk should be in your wheelhouse. But if it is there, then by all means, take advantage of it.
Do offensive linemen or defensive linemen, do you guys wear a can in football ever?
Do we wear what?
A can, like a jock.
Oh, a can.
Yeah.
Matt, what is that? Is that like a 70s reference? I've never heard it called that before.
Hockey, that's what we always call it, a can.
Oh,
no?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, well, yeah, it's a jock strap. It's a support. You don't wear protection, though. I mean, it's not a hard plastic insert that goes into the jock strap. Basically, you need some kind of support to, you know,
keep the boys in place, sure.
Yeah, keep the boys in place. And let's face it, when you're wearing those sexy spandex pants, everything is quite visible.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well,
so you have to look the part, and you have to represent, and some guys represent it a whole lot better than others.
Sandy Annunziata joins us from Yahoo. Now, I want, before we get to actual football, did Belly kiss you before he put the finger there or after?
You know, the guy didn't even buy me dinner first.
Oh, wow.
But at the very least, he gave me a big kiss afterwards, I think. And he was one of those guys that played with intensity. And I don't know if it was simply he thought we had some kind of unforeseen bond because of our Italian heritage. But I think it was that way with all offensive line with Adriano.
Looking at the offensive line here in Edmonton, you know, last season the offensive line wasn't great, but the offensive scheme combined with that made it look even worse. When you're asking your O-lineman on every play to block, you know, 3 or 4 seconds every time, it wasn't going to be effective. You know, the Eskimos have revamped their line. They went with the two imports, Washington they brought in from Toronto. Rotier's back to the left side and looks a lot more comfortable. What do you think about the Eskimo revamp line and more so McAdoo's offense coming from Toronto and how it's going to help Edmonton?
Well, they had a very confident quarterback in Ricky Ray when they grabbed some of these guys, and certainly the coaching staff. I mean, they just transferred provinces, basically. But they grabbed Andrew Jones as a free agent. Tony Washington, I thought he was probably one of their better offensive linemen, but with the emergence of some of the American tackles that they brought in last year, that kind of made Tony Washington expendable this time around. But I love Tony at the left tackle position. He's going to give Mike Riley a lot of protection. I love Simeon Rotier, another year under his belt. Whether they go with Ramsey or Babulis at center, I like Brian Ramsey because he brings that know-how and certainly that competency from a veteran perspective. But, again, it's always one of those double-edged swords when you adjust the ratio by going with two Americans when you can possibly go with four or even five. And that breaks the standard from the old Eskimo way. Usually you find five competent Canadian offensive linemen and you have at it. But I don't foresee too many problems in the back end. And when I look at Mike Riley's numbers last season, almost 800 yards rushing, a lot of that was because of the breakdowns and protection and his scrambling ability. But if they can get some protection up front, which I think they will with those two American tackles, whether it's Coleman and Washington that start the season, I think they're going to be okay.
What's a realistic expectation of Ottawa? They probably have the best quarterback we've seen on an expansion team in the last 30 years, right, in Henry Burr, so that gives them a fighting chance. But is six wins a good number for Ottawa in their first year back in the league?
If they can get six wins, I think that's going to bode very, very well for what Marcel Desjardins has done over there and Rick Campbell as the head coach and some of the personnel that they've brought in. I don't necessarily think it's legitimately realistic to think that they're playoff bound this season, but if they can be in games and keep them close and certainly get some victories under their belt, you're building a winning program over there. And the only way to build a winning program is through confidence, through winning. And once you learn that habit of winning, it becomes very, very contagious throughout the locker room. So is six a high number? Possibly. It's a very difficult East Division with the reemergence of Hamilton, with Ricky Ray in Toronto always being up there on top. You got some new faces in Montreal. I think it's going to be very, very difficult to command six wins in that tough Eastern Division. But if they can pull some great ones, you know, out of their hat, I think it bodes well for that franchise.
I was surprised how many people felt Calgary has the best quarterbacking situation because they have two young guys. I see two unproven guys. Sure, I see potential, but I don't see that experience, and they don't have a guy like Kevin Glenn they can throw in if the young guy's struggling. Now, what do you make of Calgary's quarterbacking situation and the fact that Levi Mitchell won the job?
I like where they're at right now. Again, you had the luxury of having a Kevin Glenn in there when your young quarterback struggled or when they got hurt. I guess when you're sitting behind at number two and number three and even number four for so many years, eventually you start to become accustomed to maybe having that veteran kind of savvy, and maybe that's what they're hoping for. Technically, yeah, they're young quarterbacks, but let's face it, they've both been in the league for two or three years now, and that's enough to learn the CFL game and learn a system under John Huffnagel. So I don't necessarily see either one of them not having the physical tools, and at this point in their careers, not being well-adjusted and well-acclimatized to the CFL game. I feel they'll be okay there. I think they needed Kevin Glenn for a while because those quarterbacks hadn't adjusted as quickly as they wanted to, but I think they're beyond that point right now.
Has any team significantly improved their offensive line across the league in your mind?
The only team that I think that's done a great job is Winnipeg. And if you look at what Winnipeg did in their offseason, that was one of their priorities. You knew who the quarterback was going to be, but you didn't know how confident that offensive line would be. I think they did a good enough job of retooling and getting faster and getting quicker and getting more athletic. And I think that's the new trend that we're seeing with offensive lines across this league. If you look what Toronto was able to do the last two or three years, and this was a team that really had to adjust because now with Ricky Ray standing back, you have to be athletic. You have to know how to go to your second, your third move, and you have to know how to buy him time so he can throw the ball down the field. They got athletic, and I think that's been the template for a lot of teams around the league. I like what Winnipeg has done, but as far as having one of the best offensive lines, I still got to go with Toronto. It's just a great athletic line, and they understand the value of having Ricky Ray and what's at stake. And when you play with that kind of enthusiasm and that kind of caliber quarterback behind you, you're doing whatever it takes to keep them high and dry.
Talking CFL football with Sandy and Anzietta. Sandy, one last one for you. Caleros. We saw him in Toronto, had success, but now he's the main guy in Hamilton. He's got Ken Austin, a former quarterback there, obviously helping him. You know, what do you make of Caleros? How good is he? Is he a guy who had a great run, or is he still a question mark?
Well, I'm one of those guys that's not quite sold on the Zach Caleros, starter kind of gig right now. And he did some great things in Toronto. I had the pleasure of covering him last year when he came in for relief for Ricky Ray. And this is a guy that passed for almost as many yards as Ricky Ray did last year in, I think it was 9 appearances. And he just threw touchdown passes. He had a great, stellar rookie year. But again, will the sophomore jinx catch up to him? I don't know. It's a different cast of characters, and certainly it's a different system. And let's face it, he's under a bit more pressure to be the face of the franchise and to carry the Grey Cup hopes of that Hamilton team. This is a team 1 year removed from the Grey Cup. It didn't end the way they wanted it to end, and now Zach Caleros has to take him back to the promised land. That's a lot of pressure on a young quarterback. And on top of that, you got to become accustomed to what Ken Austin brings to the table. This is a coach that brings tough love. And I know with a young quarterback, he's going to give him a firm kick in the ass or a kind word of encouragement. But you have to take it with a grain of salt because Kent is one of those guys that gets intense. And if he gets into his quarterback's face, ultimately you don't want to see that distract from his performance and maybe take away a little bit of his confidence.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting because I know Austin's a guy who really likes to challenge guys. And I wonder, you could go after Henry Burris, who maybe had a lot of experience and the thick skin to go back on, but I don't know if you can go that way with a young guy, can you?
No, and again, you got to wear the kid gloves a little bit. He did some great things in Toronto, and I think that's what appealed to Ken Austin as far as his style of play. There's no question that Zach Caleros has all the physical abilities to be a great quarterback in this league. But ultimately, you're only good as your supporting cast. And I know he had a great offensive line in Toronto, and he had some great receivers in John Childs and Chad Owens and Jason Barnes and Andre Dury, all these release valves that made him look a whole lot better than under normal circumstances with a mediocre team. So if he still has those same cast of characters, he's going to be just as good. But again, that's the big question mark, whether or not he surrounded himself with the same talent class that he had in Toronto.
Sandy, always good to talk to you. I appreciate the creativity in what we opened up that conversation with. So thank you very much.
I love the creativity. It sounds good, buddy.
All right, take her easy.
Talk to you, buddy.